Good morning, Lewis, and welcome to UK Business Morning, where we unpack the stories shaping the UK's economic landscape. Today, we've got a big one to discuss. The collapse of Prax Group and its key asset, the Lindsey Oil Refinery, has sent shockwaves through the industry and the government. Let's start with the basics. Can you quickly recap what's happened here?
Sure, Alice. So Prax Group, a 10BN energy company that its founder Sanjeev Seetharaman claimed was becoming a formidable force in the industry, has now plunged into insolvency. That's put over 400 jobs at risk at the Lindsey refinery, which produces about a tenth of the UK's fuel. The government is pushing for an investigation into the company's wealthy owner, saying there was very little time to act before the collapse. It's a pretty dramatic downfall for a company that was seen as a rising star just a few months ago.
I see, so this is a classic case of a company growing too fast without the proper infrastructure or financial backing. It's a cautionary tale, as some insiders are calling it. Let's step back a bit. You mentioned the founder, Sanjeev Seetharaman. Can you tell us a bit about his background and how Prax Group got started?
Of course. Sanjeev and his wife, Arani, started with a single petrol station in 1999. They were in their 20s at the time and from Sri Lanka. They gradually expanded, selling their homes and mortgaging family properties to fund their growth. By 2015, they'd acquired Harvest Energy and its forecourts. Then in 2020, during the pandemic, they made a big move by acquiring the Lindsey refinery from Total for $167.6 million. That was a major turning point.
Wow, that's quite a journey, but the Lindsey refinery acquisition seems to be the point where things started to get complicated. Let's talk about that. What were the risks involved in taking over such a large asset?
Right, the refinery is a massive operation. It processes up to 113,000 barrels of oil a day, which requires significant working capital, around $400 million just to keep it running. Prax needed to maintain a steady cash flow to fund the operations. But as they kept expanding, taking on more acquisitions, it became harder to maintain adequate liquidity. The problem is, refining is a high-volume business with thin margins. It's not as simple as just buying the asset. You need the expertise to manage it effectively.
That makes sense, and from what I've read, there were internal concerns about the company's ability to manage the refinery. Can you share more on that?
Absolutely. By 2023, Prax was still acquiring assets. A North Sea oil producer, a European petrol station network, and a minority stake in a South African refinery. But behind the scenes, there were growing concerns. In autumn 2023, Deloitte seconded a partner to work with Seetharaman on what was called Project King. It was supposed to streamline processes and improve efficiency, but the name, Cash is King, suggests desperation. The project went through multiple phases as things got worse.
That's interesting, and they changed their accountant from KPMG to a smaller firm called PKF Littlejohn. What does that tell us?
It's a red flag. Changing auditors in the middle of a financial crisis can indicate that a company is trying to get a more favourable assessment of its financial health. KPMG and Deloitte declined to comment, and PKF didn't respond. It does raise questions about the transparency of the financial reporting.
Right, and the financial results themselves were concerning. Let's talk about the losses. What were the numbers, and how did the company respond?
In the year ending February 2024, the parent company State Oil Limited and the refinery unit Prax Lindsey Oil Refinery Limited reported losses after tax of $28.7 million and £40 million, respectively. Despite the losses, the company paid a $5.2 million dividend to the Seetharaman family. That's a pretty bold move when the company is struggling financially. It suggests that the family was prioritizing their own interests over the company's long-term sustainability.
That's quite a controversial decision, and the ownership structure is complex with the family holding most of the shares. How does that affect the company's governance?
It does. Sanjeev and Arani each own 40% of State Oil, with the remaining 20% in trusts for their daughters. That means the family has significant control over the company's decisions. When you have a family at the helm with such a large stake, it can lead to conflicts of interest, especially when financial decisions are being made that directly benefit the family.
Yes, and the government is now involved. They're pushing for an investigation into the owner, right?
Exactly. The government says there was very little time to act before the collapse. They're concerned about the impact on the energy sector and the potential for wider economic consequences. The refinery is a critical asset for the UK's fuel supply, so its collapse could have ripple effects.
And what about the future of the refinery? Glencore, the company that supplies oil to the refinery, has a stake in the outcome. What's their role here?
Glencore has a supply agreement that gives them security over some of the oil on site at Lindsay and a potential claim over some entities involved. They're working with stakeholders to support a safe and responsible outcome for the refinery. So they're not just watching from the sidelines. They're actively involved in trying to find a resolution.
That's good to hear. It shows there's still a chance to salvage the operation. But what about the people who work there? Over 400 jobs are at risk. How is the company addressing that?
Unfortunately, the company hasn't issued any public statements since the insolvency. The founders, Sanjeev and Arani Susepilla, have been unreachable. One person who worked with Susepilla said he's likely devastated and working hard to save the business. But until there's more clarity, the employees are in limbo.
It's a tough situation, and it's a reminder of how quickly things can go wrong when a company grows too fast without the proper foundation. Let's close with a final thought. What lessons can we take from this story?
Well, it's a classic case of overexpansion without the necessary financial and operational expertise. Companies need to grow at a sustainable pace with the right infrastructure and support. Also, transparency in financial reporting is crucial. Changing auditors in the middle of a crisis is a red flag that investors and regulators should pay attention to. And finally, governance structures that prioritize long-term sustainability over short-term gains are essential for the health of any business.
That's a great summary, Lewis. Thanks for breaking this down for us. It's been a fascinating story to unpack, and I hope there's a way to save the refinery and the jobs it supports. Until next time, stay informed and keep an eye on the energy sector.